Philomena. This is the story of a woman who was forced by a convent to sign away the parental rights to her young son and of her 50-year search to find him. You know, sometimes it seems like it takes that long to find a decent movie at the local multiplex. But if you go to see this film, both your search and Philomena's will have a happy ending.
This is Martin Sixsmith, used to be the BBC's man in Moscow.
And Washington.
You're depressed.
Well, I got the sack. I'm unemployed.
Yes, but it wasn't your fault, was it?
That's why I'm depressed.
What are you working on at the moment?
I know this woman. She had a baby when she was a teenager. She's kept it secret for 50 years.
You're talking about a human interest story, and that's... I don't do those.
Why not?
You think I should do a human interest story? Philomena, how are you?
I had a hip replacement last year, Martin. Titanium, so it won't rust.
Otherwise, I'd have to oil you like the Tin Man.
Is that right?
Oh, no.
He's just joking, Mum.
Oh. I was going to ask if it'd be possible not to use my real name when you write the story. What about Anne Boleyn? That's a lovely name. Oh, somebody had that.
We're going to have to use your real name, Philomena.
I only want to know if he's all right.
Perhaps these older nuns should help us with some of the details.
I don't think that's going to be possible.
Why not?
You're a journalist.
I used to be.
Martin's a Roman Catholic.
Yes, well, no, I used to be. My guess is that Anthony was adopted and sent to America.
I think I would like to go. I'd like to know if Anthony ever thought of me. I've thought of him every day.
What if he died in Vietnam? Or lived on the street? Or what if he was obese?
What math makes you think he'd be obese?
Because of the size of the portions. That's my Anthony.
I met him.
Where?
At the White House.
Dear God, what was he like? And did you remember anything he said?
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
It might have been hi.
Oh, Martin.
I did not abandon my child.
He was taken from me.
She's been looking for him. She spent her whole life trying to find him.
Philomena. In the title role is Judi Dench, who plays Philomena. When Philomena was a teenager, she became pregnant, and since she was unmarried, she was at the mercy of some nuns in a convent where her child was eventually put up for adoption. 50 years later, she finally reveals the story to her own daughter, and a reporter named Martin Sixsmith, played by Steve Coogan, learns of the story, and while reluctant at first, finally decides to help her to tell the story and to find her son. And they begin to investigate. Their journey begins first in England, Ireland, and then America.
Stephen Frears directed this film?
He did.
Stephen Frears has been one of my favorite directors for 33 years. Always consistent. His first film was one of my favorites, Gumshoe, in 1970. Over the years, he's just been really good. With enough visual mastery, it's not tricky. He's mostly focused on a very humanist view with real three-dimensional characters, good or evil or in between. He never lets you down, and he just has a nice, quaint, charming touch. It's very much an exhibit here where you deal with two people. She herself is very welcoming the whole time, but he's a much more cynical, kind of hard-nosed journalist type who gets to become more human just by associating with this lovely Irish woman who just wants to know what happened to her son. And the story is well told and beautifully acted.
The story is very well told, and this is one of those based on a true story, inspired by true events films that we've seen so much of this year. But unlike most of the other ones we've seen this year, this is well told, it's well executed, has a lot of heart, and I think it's probably one of the best performances by Judi Dench, although that's kind of hard to say because I've never seen her give a bad performance. But here she is just luminous.
Compared to someone who's wonderful like Meryl Streep, mm-hmm. you know, who's going to do the accents, who's going to do all the kind of physical things and all that stuff. Dench never does any of that kind of stuff. I mean, whether she's playing, you know, M, or she's playing the woman in the film where they all go to India, the recent British film, or something like this, she always goes straight for the emotional truth of her character, and that's what she brings to the performance. It's not a lot of gimmicky acting stuff. It's some emotional truth about who she's playing.
Apart from the fact that she's a great actress, and I know she's done stage work. I've never seen her on stage, but I'm sure she's wonderful. She's really a wonderful movie actress in that she can tell so much just by maybe a tilt of the head or the twinkle in her eye or something that she does that the camera captures so well. Steve Coogan, I think, is also very good in this. He doesn't always play tremendously likable characters, and in fact, in this one, initially he's not.
Well, I think Steve Coogan kind of gets double kudos, too, because lucky for him, he brings a certain persona from his previous performance, and usually it's some kind of snooty person who either gets put in his place or doesn't. In this case, he's a journalist in between jobs. What he really wants to do is write some book.
On Russian history.
Some nonfiction, yeah, about Russian history.
That's a funny gag, by the way.
Yeah, it is. But he needs this gig to kind of tide him over, and he has no interest in doing this human interest story. And the editor he hooks up with does nothing but human interest stories, but is just completely cynical about him. But he was also co-writer on the screenplay. And one of the things I really appreciate about this tight 90-minute film is that after about 45 minutes or so, they get to America, and a part of me just felt like, oh my God, this is where the story's really going to end, but they're going to find some way to pad it out. But it was like, no, the film always had a clever twist or something unexpected or a character revelation. And those last 40 minutes, just in terms of construction and keeping your interest in a story that could have easily just run out of energy and been marking time, is completely involving. So, I mean, the direction's moving the story along. The actors are doing a terrific job. And there's this great tight little screenplay also. So he did a very good job.
It's based on a true story of an evil that was done years ago, which is the nuns would take the babies of unwed mothers under their care and basically just put them up to adoption, sell them to rich American parents without the mothers have any say at all. And in the hands of anyone else, it just could have been like a screed against the church and all this.
But even beyond that, I mean, eventually we get over to America and gay issues come into the story. You have to deal with politics and the Republican side of things at the time. And a film that could have easily just been derailed and started railing against all these injustices.
Republicans and the church. There were two plumb targets.
The film, although it's interested in that, what it's really interested in are its two characters. And if any of that stuff comes out, it comes out through how they have to deal with each other and how they have to come to terms with the past. And Frears as a director never, ever loses sight of that. And so the film doesn't become overwhelmed with being some kind of message movie. It's a character movie instead.
The Judi Dench character is the victim of an infamy committed by the nuns. She is the one with the faith and the goodness, whereas the one who's just an observer on this is just a cynical kind of secularist. That adds a lot of the drama and the humor of this very lovely film.
You know, I thought it was masterfully directed too, and one of the ways you can kind of see how good he is with actors themselves is even though Judi Dench was great, the way he directed the girl who played the young Judi
Dench. She was wonderful.
Yes.
There's a slight separation there because it is Judi Dench, but you have no trouble believing that this is a young Judi Dench.
I can't stress how beautifully done it is when the kid out of wedlock mothers get to see their children for an hour. They have to work like slaves to pay off the care that the nuns gave them. Then they get to see their kids for an hour. And just that scene, again, Dickensian.
You know what I liked about that in a way so much was he made that so credible, and there's not a lot of boo-hooing, I'm doing this hard work.
No.
But what the film manages to set up is what makes all that drudgery worth it for her is that she can see her son for
that
an hour.
1 hour, right.
And they as take long as she can do that, everything else is bearable, so that when she actually does have her kid taken away, it really is devastating. She has no reason to live. She has nothing to get her through all these terrible hours now. You know, and that really hits home in a real way.
I'd like to bring up another scene, and it's the scene where they're on a tram in the airport going probably from the plane to luggage. She is telling him about this romance novel she's just finished reading, probably some really cheesy bodice ripper type of thing. She's very loving about it. She's enjoyed it so much. And so she begins to tell him the plot. And you can tell he, in his own cynical way, is just sort of being tolerant of
her. He's like Mr. High Literature. And she'll preface a lot of things like, and you'll never guess what happens. And, you know, it's some cliche. You can absolutely see it coming. But she's just so involved. She sells the idea of it. And he's like, oh, yeah, I didn't see that coming.
But the way it's shot on this tram and the way it's written as a dialogue between these two, it's like a ballet. It's like a beautifully choreographed ballet. The camera moves around the tram and comes in at different angles as the tram is moving, and the two of them in this lovely pas de deux.
But you know, as a director, he really knows what he's doing, because another director would have seen that scene as written and said, here's the humor in it. Once I get the laugh, I'm going to cut to something else.
Mm-hmm. She would have said something. It would be expected of us to, oh, ha, ha, ha. What a
and it would have left us in a moment of feeling superior to her instead of identifying with her like we do the way it's shot and edited now.
Right.
And then again, at the end, it's kind of nice where it finally comes full circle and we go back to where she lived with the nuns all those years. years, and she actually has to confront one of the still surviving nuns who was there when her son was taken. And Coogan, probably like a lot of the people in the audience, want a final settling with the nun to put them in their place and let them know what they've done wrong and somehow get something out of that. Where that Philomena realizes that's not something that's going to do anything for her life at this point, that having another bit of hate to hold on to or throw in somebody's face isn't going to make her any better. And I guess the thing is, Coogan thinks his hate is going to make everything end there. And I think Philomena in her way is wise enough to know that's not true, and that the only way they are going to move ahead is to let go of that.
In a lesser film, after Steve Coogan, you know, tells off the nun how horrible she is, blah, 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 the nun would have been suddenly repentant and burst into tears. Oh, I'm so sorry for my
We did something wrong even then, but what was I to do?
Oh, dear. But instead, she just fires back at him, bringing up her lifelong held prejudices against these girls. There's so much power in the way the Philomena character can then turn and say to the nun, I forgive you. It is extremely powerful, and we understand the power of that and how difficult that is to forgive.
She's gotten what she wanted out of this journey at this point. She's refound her son. She knows the kind of life he led. And in her way, she knows that if the son had stayed with her, many things might not have been as good for him.
And she says that throughout the movie. As they're looking for him in America and they see like the house and the places that he's been in and watched in the Capitol, a picture with him and the president, she keeps saying, I couldn't have given him this, you know? So even that becomes kind of ambiguous. Yes, it was horrible, but look what's become of him.
I like the combo sad, happy ending, you know, where you're sad because the son had died at the end, but you're happy because she's completed her journey and she basically got what she set out to do. She got a satisfying ending to that.
She knows her son did miss her, and she knows that this was as close as he could come to being reunited with her by being buried in this graveyard
and
where hopefully she'd find him.
She's happy because he never forgot about her.
Yeah.
It's so easy could be black and white about the church, you know, being evil, or as you say, the Republicans. But as somebody who's very conservative, and I like to think of myself as religious, you know, I don't feel any more dislike for the things that I treasure because of this movie. In fact, I just think that flaws in any system should be corrected. And I think partly that's what this movie does. Stephen Frears, as I said, he's been around for 33 years. He's never gotten, never will get the attention of the Coen brothers. But when the history of cinema is written for the past 50 years, he will stand out.
Why would God bestow upon us a sexual desire that he then wants us to resist?
The thing is, I didn't even know I had a clitoris, Martin.
Right.
That'll do it for this week. Join us in 3 weeks for episode 83. In the meantime, why not check out our blog at cinemamisfits.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Do you have a movie memory you'd like to share? Call and record it at 818-528-4048. We'll use it on the podcast. Comments about the show or the movies are always welcomed. Thanks for listening. This has been a Running Scared production.
Academy came out with their nominations, including Best Picture. We did our best to predict them. The actual nominations, I'll rattle them off fairly quickly. 12 Years a Slave, Gravity, Wolf of Wall Street, Nebraska, Dallas Buyers Club, Captain Phillips, Her, which is a real shock, Philomena, a semi-shock, and American Hustle. But who cares about any of that, is what I say. How did we do?
Uh-huh.
Well, this is how we did. There was one standout person, led the field, seemed to have the pulse of the Academy this time around.
Who was that?
Well, it was me.
Of course it was.
One caveat here. Since we do this so far in advance, we never have any idea how many pictures they're going to nominate. If it had been left up to me, I'm not quite sure I would have hit 5. But the Academy ended up going with 9.
Whew.
When we did our predictions, we went with 8. So bear that in mind. We could have gotten maybe one more right or one more wrong. The ones I got right were Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, Wolf of Wall Street, Nebraska, which I took a certain amount of shit for, and Dallas Buyers Club. The ones I got wrong were Rush, Blue Jasmine, and Inside Llewyn Davis. Mm. My prediction, and I'll still stand by this for Best Picture of the Year, 12 Years a Slave.
Okay.
So Steve, the man,
hey,
he comes in at number two. He gets 4 out of 4. Not bad. Very respectable. If he's in baseball, he'd be a hero. He got Wolf of Wall Street right. He got Dallas Buyers Club, 12 Years a Slave, and Gravity. Then he went a little off the tracks. He might have been a little single-minded in his nominations this year. Mandela, Long Road to Freedom, he got wrong. Fruitvale Nation didn't pan out either. There was also The Butler, completely misguided. And some people are probably still bitching a bit about this, but Lone Survivor didn't get nominated either. I think we can cross off the man choice for Best Picture at this point, Fruitvale Station. All right,
oh,
so.
No, not mine.
Then
no.
Nancy.
No.
She did get some right.
I know.
She got Nebraska, 12 Years a Slave, and Gravity.
Okay, and let's not go.
What were the films that led her astray, I wonder?
Please.
Well, let's check it out. The Great Gatsby.
Oh, God.
You know, that was a possibility. The Butler. If you knew how much grief I took when I, against all the odds, back in September, said The Butler will not be nominated. They are so thrilled they can forget about this movie. Oh, yeah, and then there was The Book Thief.
Oh, well.
August Osage County.
Yeah, I still say that.
And I don't hold this one against her, because sometimes you just have to stand up for films that need to be nominated and you enjoy.
And
World War Z.
Yeah, I'm still in.
Best Picture winner? Well, this one might be a little wide of the mark also.
Oh.
The Book Thief.
Ow.
All right. So here we are. We've now reached the bottom of the nomination barrel. And Lou, not a complete goose egg. He got 2 right. Gravity, Wolf of Wall Street.
Good for you, Lou.
Of course, he saw this bandwagon going by and just could not help but jump on with everyone else. He said, The Butler. Well, if you thought The Butler was misguided, then he said, The Fifth Estate.
Oh, gosh.
And then he might have just been taking illegal drugs that day. I'm not quite sure how to account for this. The Counselor.
Yeah.
He followed that up with the even more unlikely Saving Mr. Banks. He came in along with Steve for Lone Survivor. And again, the last one, can't pick on him, you know, because sometimes you just want something decent in there. And he went with About Time.
Yes.
Lou's pick for Best Picture, Gravity.
Oh, okay.
So just real quickly, I mean, in some of the other awards, I think we have to mention, since the demand's not with us today, he's got to be thrilled that not only did Amy Adams do well at the Golden Globes, she's also up for Best Actress, and so I'm sure he's excited about that. And at this point, I'd have to say Alfonso Cuarón is probably a lock for Best Director, because he just got the Directors Guild Award also. Original screenplay, here's my prediction today.
Okay.
It will happen.
Yeah.
Her will get Best Screenplay. Screenplay.
Yeah.
Because it is the year after year, the Kiss Off Indie Award.
It is.
Friend of the show, Bruce Broughton, is up for Best Original Song, Alone Yet Not Alone. So, good luck, Bruce. Costume, I don't know if Nancy wants to weigh in on this.
What are our nominations?
Here are the nominations. American Hustle, The Grandmaster, The Great Gatsby, The Invisible Woman, 12 Years a Slave.
Well, 12 Years a Slave does have hoop skirts.
But are they the right kind of hoop skirts?
I don't know. I really don't. And there's not enough of them.
No.
I tend to think Gatsby might take
it. Yeah,
I think
it's got a real shot, Gatsby, in that one.
Yeah, I think so.
And it was crucial to the film, too.
Right,
to look at
right.
it like that.
And otherwise, there's just not enough hoop skirts.
I only bring up film editing. It's American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, 12 Years a Slave. But not surprisingly, Wolf of Wall Street is not among this group.
Yeah, that's
because that film, I think they're still editing it, and it's still too long.
I go Gravity on that.
Yeah, I think, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, the only category I really care about this year, the only thing I am really pulling for, animated short film.
Oh.
Get a horse.
Get a horse. Yes, absolutely.